So I was told that people are disappointed when I don't start with the joke. I didn't the last two times, so I'm going to start with a joke. Okay, so the preacher's Sunday sermon was "Forgive Your Enemies." Toward the end of the service, he asked his congregation, "How many of you have forgiven their enemies?" About half of their hands held their hands up. He then repeated his question as it was past lunchtime. I'm not going to speak past lunchtime. This is about 80% held up their hands. He then repeated his question again. All responded except for one small elderly lady. "Mrs. Jones," inquired the preacher, "are you not willing to forgive your enemies?" "I don't have any," she replied, smiling sweetly. "Mrs. Jones, that is very unusual. How old are you?" 93, she replied. "Oh, Mrs. Jones, what a blessing and a lesson to us all, to all of us you are. Would you please come down front in this congregation and tell us how a person can live 93 years and not have an enemy in the world?" The little sweetheart of a lady tottered down towards the aisle, faced the congregation, and said, "I outlive the old hags." So, Beth picked that one. I did not. So for the longest time, when I knew this was coming, I was going to be up here for a couple weeks, and I was looking for something to do over, you know, a 2 or 3 week thing. Well, as it turned out, things changed. So I'd never heard a sermon on Samson. I did not have the advantage of growing up in Sunday school. I didn't go there as a kid and all that, so I didn't hear all the fun stories that people heard. So I thought, I'm going to read Samson. God put it in my heart to read Samson, and I read it. And I'm like, how have I not heard this before? How have I not heard sermons on Samson? So I read it again, and then I read it again. I was like, okay, I'm doing this. What we're going to focus on today right now is going to be Judges 16. I'm going to focus on his last prayer. So Judges 16, 28 to 30. "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes.' Then Samson put his hand on the center pillars, two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people." Now, I'm going to read a lot of my sermon today because it's very much about sin, and I don't want to leave anything out. So it's very important to me that I get all of these points out. So I'm going to read quite a bit because I don't want to mislead at all. So, but today I want to take a look at the tragic story of a man who was given great strength. So the strength was meant for great things and to be done for the glory of the Lord. The Lord blessed him with this strength, but he got so full of himself that he gave in to the weakness of sin and in human flesh and was blinded, literally, to this covenant with God. So obviously, as I said, we're talking about Samson. So that's how the story ends. So we see how it ends. He prays to God, he pushes the pillars, and he dies. But let's see how we got here, okay? So we got here. We're going to go back to the beginning. The Israelites were handed over to the Philistines because once again they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord punished them again. He gave them over to the Philistines. For 40 years, the Philistines oppressed them. Well, the Israelites started to come around. They started to realize the error of their ways, so God figured, okay, now it's time to lift this oppression off of them. So he goes to Manoah's wife, who is unable to get pregnant, and tells her, "You're going to have a son." Tells her that his hair is not to be cut, and he is to be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. So the woman gave birth to Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. Okay, so here is Samson, dedicated to Nazareth, blessed with incredible strength in the Lord, had a strong faith in the Lord. He also knew that it was decreed that by God that he never cut his hair. So things were going along just as they were supposed to. So Samson was strong both physically and in faith. Now we know he was strong in faith also because in Hebrews he's listed as men of great faith from the Old Testament. So we know he had great faith. Okay? So what happens to lead to such a tragic ending? A lot of times, like I've said before, we talk about that dash on your tombstone. Well, what happens is his takes a drastic turn from what it was supposed to be. He's strong, but he starts to think pretty highly of himself. And so one day, the whole thing starts. He sees a Philistine woman, and he goes back, and he tells his mom and dad, I want her. I want to marry her. Now, that's against the Jewish laws. It was against the laws of God for him to marry a Philistine. His parents objected. They said, no, can't you find someone else? And he said, no, this is who I'm going to marry. So this, however, what God does is God wanted this to happen. He uses Samson as an unknowing participant in his plan. Samson didn't realize that God actually wanted this to happen. So Samson is going to free the Israelites from the Philistines, as it says in Judges 14:4, the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines. So you see, God intends to use Samson's sinful act as a way to accomplish what he promised. So after this first sinful act, Samson goes on to perform many more sinful acts, falling further and further from the grace of God and leading to a life of sin due to his prideful arrogance. So he starts lying, he goes on killing sprees, all kinds of things. He starts telling riddles and things like that. But then the worst thing happens. Delilah. So enters Delilah. So guys, I don't know about you, but he had a weakness for women, a real weakness for women, and Delilah, for whatever reason, just did it for him. He just fell for Delilah and could not see what she was going to do to him or what she was doing to him. So I know, as a guy, when you see that person, man, they're just who you want to be with. I can tell you, after 2 years and of never, not wanting to date anyone, not wanting to see anyone, I walked into a bowling alley in November. I saw Beth. Our first date was in February. I proposed in March. We got married in October. And almost 9 months to the day, Emily was born. So I can tell you right now that it is possible to fall head over heels at first sight. Now, the good news for me is we'll be married 25 years this October. So I'm not suggesting that everyone goes that route, but it worked for me. So Samson held this weakness for women. So she starts to play games with him and starts badgering him about how do I defeat you? How can I defeat you? Now, here, I've heard this saying. I loved it. It was so long ago. It said, love is blind, but the neighbors aren't. Samson was blind. Three times she came to Samson and said, how can you be defeated? First time he tells her, she rushes into the room and says, Samson, they've come to get you. And he snaps the ropes and he defeats him. Again, she badgers him. He tells her again a lie. Here's how you can defeat me. Again, she runs into the room and says, Samson, they're coming to get you again. At what point does he start to go, hey, wait a minute. Something's kind of funny here. I'm telling you how to beat me and you're tying me up and they're still coming. So it just really amazes me. I read this. The first time I read it, I'm like, he fell for this three times? But he did. So finally, he tells her the truth. And here's what happens. Here's the tragedy of the wrath of abandonment. His sin had caused him to forfeit the power of God's presence. When she cut his hair, God left him. The power of God's presence left him. He didn't know it. So when she came in and said that they're here to get him again, they easily defeated him. They gouged out his eyes, and then they put him to work as a slave, grinding grain. So we know how it began with God's sovereign plan. The middle was Samson's sin takes control of his life. And then how it ends is Samson returning to his faith in God. Okay? And for God to remember him once again. So what I want to look at is his final prayer. So this is about the restoration of a fallen hero. So first we have the restoration, the power of the restoration. The hair on his head began to grow again. Okay, after a time, Samson began to go, his hair began to grow back. If you remember, obviously it was his hair that was a symbol of his vow with God. It wasn't his strength. The strength came from God, but his hair was the symbol, to symbolize that. So it's not that he needed necessarily this hair. He was supposed to keep it, though. So the picture of the restoration was the regrowth of Samson's hair was a picture of the truth that God was not through with Samson yet. So Samson lived long enough that his hair started to grow back. And again, when I'm reading this, the first thing I think, personally, because I unfortunately used to be a guy that would fight, I'm like, don't let his hair grow back. As soon as they cut his hair off, the first thing I'm thinking, honestly, is, well, if it starts to grow again, won't it be okay? They never thought that. So they shaved his head one time. He lost his power the one time. His hair starts to grow back. So the grace of God allowed Samson to live long enough for his hair to grow back. And this lets us know that God still has plans for Samson. So Samson's hair grew back, but it was a slow process. The average growth rate of human hair is about 1/8 of an inch per week. That's for all you guys with hair, okay? Mine does not grow 1/8 of an inch per month. So that translates to about 6 inches per year. To grow his hair to the waist would take about 6 years. So all this means is that Samson was in the process of restoration for a very long time. When you read the Bible and you read this story, it makes it sound like it was kind of, you know, it doesn't give you timelines in between how long he was grinding grain and as a slave. But so this restoration was taking a very long time. So here's where we get into the meat of this sermon. There are a few observations we need to notice concerning this restoration process. So if you have sinned and failed the Lord, especially in a grievous and public way, restoration is possible, but it is gradual. You cannot expect to be restored to service overnight. You can be forgiven of a sin in an instant, but restoration may take a lot of time. It takes time to earn back the trust of others. Sin takes a tremendous toll on all the people within its orbit. It takes time for the pain, distrust, and effects of the sin to ease. Huge failures in our lives are not a result of a sudden fall into sin. These are the culmination of a long period of disobedience. It takes time to replace bad habits with good ones. It takes time to change the way the mind thinks. Thus, it takes time to change the way we live our lives. It takes time to earn back the trust of the people who have been wounded by our failures. While sin might be forgiven and the sinner might be made right, forgiveness does not cancel out the consequences of our sin. Okay? God can forgive you, but it does not cancel out the consequences of our sin. Samson's hair grew back, but he was still bound. He was still blind, and he was still in prison grinding grain. Sin leaves a terrible life on the mark of the guilty. The scars of the sin can be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. I have a cut on the palm of my hand that's been there for over 40 years, probably 42 years now. This happened because of decisions my mom and dad made. One had indiscretions with another man, the other one had problems with gambling. So that broke the family up, which means she brought another man into our life who was very abusive. He cut my hand for something I did wrong. That scar has been there for over 40 years as a reminder to me of what sin can do, of how, you know, so I look at that sometimes, and sometimes I'm still like, I can't believe it's still so prominent. It's not gone down. You'd think as an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old kid, it would start to fade. It's not faded. It's still there as a reminder every day of what sin can do to a person, and it's helped me in my life, to be honest with you. The scars sin leaves behind may never be fully healed. While relationships with God and others may be restored, the reminders of sin may haunt you the rest of your life. Regret, guilt, and a loss of peace may stalk the guilty party until they leave this world. We must always remember that sin brings consequences, and those consequences may follow us to the grave. So if you want to look at sin, there's one way, an example of sin is an earthquake. There's been a lot of earthquakes out in California lately, okay? The center of that earthquake where it hits, okay, that's where you feel it the most, obviously. But that earthquake spreads out, okay? Just like sin, if you sin, it hurts right there the most with whoever it is you're with or whatever the sin was. But that spreads out, and it can take over. That earthquake doesn't just stay in that center right where it happened. It spreads out and causes devastation to so many people for miles and miles and miles, who I don't even know how far. So that's what sin does. And while there was restoration, there was a limitation of Samson's service. It is possible to commit sins that will disqualify us from certain positions, even in the church. It's not that we do not forgive or that the Lord does not forgive. The issue is that people will not follow a leader whom they have no confidence in. So this passage challenges us to avoid sin in our lives at all costs. Whatever steps are necessary to avoid committing sin must be utilized. God will help us to be the people he saved us to be. He will help us in our hour of temptation. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. This passage also reminds us there's a restoration for those who have fallen. So in Proverbs 28:13, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So that was the first thing. The second thing was it was a time of reproach. God's man was degraded. Samson was brought into the temple of Dagon. Dagon was the god of the Philistines. He was half man, half fish. I'm guessing he looked like a merman. I don't know. But this was this was the temple now. And Samson was brought in. They brought him in to amuse themselves. In other words, they brought Samson in as entertainment. They brought him in to mock him. They're drunk. They're looking for a good time. They force Samson to perform like some kind of a circus freak. They no longer fear him as the mighty, undefeatable judge of Israel. They no longer see him as a threat to their way of life. They view Samson only as an object of mockery and derision. They bring him in so they can laugh at him. He is diminished in their eyes, and they force him to do tricks while they laugh. So you have to know that Samson was humiliated. He surely feels as though he is worthless. When he is engaged in his sins, he couldn't see past the dangers lurking nearby. He didn't look that far ahead. Now he sees it clearly, but it's too late. He's already committed them. Sin has humiliated the once proud judge. Sin has turned the mighty, fearsome warrior into a clown. And sin has transformed him from the stuff of legends into a punchline for the enemies of God. This is what sin will do if we allow it in our lives, if we allow it to reign in our hearts. Sin has the power to turn our lives into content for the rumor mills. You know it's true. Unfortunately, people like to gossip, even in churches. It's just a fact of life. It has the power to bring us so low that people point at us and whisper about our failures behind our back. Sin has the power to defeat us, to degrade us, to diminish us, and to demoralize us. So God's glory was diminished. Not only was Samson degraded, God's glory was diminished because now these people gave all the glory to Dagon. Okay, this was supposed to be God's glory, but they gave it all to Dagon. So because Samson was defeated, the Philistines glorified Dagon and gave him the credit for the victory. And Samson probably believed that he would never have to deal with this. He would have his fun. They would go right back to serving the Lord and helping the people. He never imagined that he would be captured. He never imagined that he would be humiliated. He never believed that he would sin, that his sin would allow his enemies to mock God. Samson learned the hard way that not only does sin bring about terrible consequences in the life of people, in the life of sinner, he also learned that the sin in the lives of people always reflects badly on the Lord. We must remember that the things we do either glorify God or dishonor him. We must always remember that if we are saved, we belong to the Lord, and we must never do anything in our lives that bring dishonor to his name or that allows the enemies of truth to mock him. We who know the Lord should live lives that speak well of him. We should always strive to bring him glory and do nothing that causes him to be reproached by the enemies of truth. Here is his desire for us, Philippians 2, 12-16. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. And what does Paul say about it? Paul in Galatians 2:12, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We should be able to say those words every day. We should be able to recite that. Lastly, it was a time of retaliation. Samson's desire. Samson stands before the people, the shell of a man he used to be. He asked this boy to take him up to the pillars, place his hands on the pillar, and then he prays to God. He prays for the strength so that he can get vengeance against those who put out his eyes. Okay, his thoughts are still a little bit skewed there, okay? His heart's going in the right direction, but if you look there, he asked for vengeance against those who put out his eyes. So his priorities are still somewhat out of order, but he's getting there, okay? He's heading in the right direction. So there are times when we fall into sins, when we do, it's easy to allow that sin to keep us from seeking God in prayer. Seeking the Lord is the only avenue we have for restoration. We must not allow guilt over our actions, depression, or discouragement keep us away from him. He's the only hope of restoration we have. We must get to him. We must be honest about our sins, and we must seek his forgiveness. When we do, he will hear us, and he will forgive our sins. So it is possible that some of us here are harboring unconfused and unforgiven sins in our lives. Everyone here thinks you're doing well spiritually, but you know the truth. You know you're a cold, distant, empty. You know that you're not where you used to be with the Lord. It happens to people a lot. It happens in every Christian's life at some point or another. There are times you're not as close to the Lord as you once were. Your restoration will not come to pass until you come to him and get honest about your condition. The horror Samson suffered at the hand of the Philistine caused him to examine his life. He had time to think about what he had done. He took the necessary steps, and God accepted him. His bondage resulted in his freedom. His blindness caused him to see the light. God forgave Samson and used him one more time. The Bible is just, it's full of stories of great men that fell from grace and were restored to God's grace after repenting. So your sin does not have to define you. Your fall does not have to be all that people remember about your life. Your sin does not have to have the last word. You can come to God. Be honest before him. Reach up to him, and he in his grace will accept you, forgive you, restore you, and use you for his glory. So Samson's deed is he gets this boy to take him up to the pillars, and he prays to God to remember me once again, to remember me. Okay? And he starts pushing on these pillars. And you know these people are laughing. You know they're thinking, look at him. Look how silly he looks pushing on these pillars. He ain't going to go anywhere. He's got nothing. He's got no power. We took his eyes. We took his power. He's got nothing. So he starts pushing on these pillars. And these people you know are just like, yeah, keep going. It's all to be good. And he asked the Lord to remember him. Here's the thing. The Lord never forgot him. Okay? It's important. It says it in there, remember me. Okay, the Lord never forgot Samson. He forgot the Lord. He forgot his covenant. He got full of himself. He created this. The Lord didn't create this. The Lord didn't mean for want this to happen to him. He made this happen. Okay? So that's important to understand. So he starts pushing, and all of a sudden they start to fall. And he asked the Lord to let him die with them. So he takes down this temple and kills 3,000 more Philistines. In his life, he killed over 4,000 Philistines. And that's a shame. I'm not glorifying that at all, the fact that he took so many lives. But this was God's plan. So the whole point is God used Samson again. He used him to strike one final crucial blow to the enemies of the Lord. Understand he will use you too. When there is repentance, forgiveness, and restoration, the Lord will use you again for his glory. So in his death, his brothers and the other men in that family, they come to Gaza, they dig him up, they find him, they dig through the rubble, they find him, and they take him home and honor him by giving him a proper burial. And it was very important in those days to do that. So the chances are that your sins will not lead us to the same events that mark Samson's life. Chances are that you will fall, seek the Lord in repentance, and he will give you, forgive you, and restore your usefulness. Chances are you will not die while carrying out his will for your life. In other words, the chances are good that God will use you, bless you, and carry you home to glory in the usual manner. But like Samson, however, you can receive glory at the end by the way you serve the Lord faithfully while you are here. There's two lessons we can learn from this in wrapping it up. Sin carries a devastatingly high price. When we engage in sin, we must be prepared to pay the consequences. There will be consequences in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our communities, and in the eyes of the world. It's another example that I go back to, obviously being a sports-minded person. This was not a sin it wasn't a church family sin, but we all know about the story of Lance Armstrong. Here's a man that he diagnosed with, I think, three forms of cancer. He was in really bad shape. He overcame that cancer. He went on to become he won five, I think, or seven Tour de France's. Turns out he cheated. Now, he started Livestrong in this time. Livestrong was an organization for cancer, and it was one of the most popular ones out there. That's all you, if you heard about cancer, you knew about Livestrong. He cheated, and he got caught. And while Livestrong is still around, it's not near what it used to be because they felt the effects of his decision to do something. And it's a shame because Livestrong, we all know people that have cancer, that have dealt with cancer. And Livestrong was one of the leaders in getting money for that. So that's an example of what one person's decision did to an organization. Again, they're still around. But it had an effect, a very big effect. So the other lesson we can learn, sin does not have to rule your life. There is a place of repentance. There is a place of forgiveness. There is a place of restoration. There is a God in heaven who loves you in spite of your sins. He will cleanse you, forgive you, and restore you if you will come to him. The successful Christian is not the person who never fails, but is the person who, when they fail, gets back up and goes out to the Lord. The successful Christian is a person who accepts God's remedy for sin, reaches up to God for cleansing and forgiveness when he does fail. So when you are in your walk with him, are you saved? Are you as close as you should be? Are you as close as you used to be? Are you facing a time of testing through temptation? Has God spoken to your heart today? If there are needs, please come to him now for the help, forgiveness, and restoration you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, sin is, it can devastate our lives if we let it. If we let it define who we are. If we can't forget that sin. If we don't come to you for the forgiveness. We are all sinners. We all sin every day, every single one of us. And some of us refuse to see that, or some of us think they're not as bad as other people's sins. It doesn't work that way. We all sin, Lord, and I'm just asking that all of us realize that and we turn ourselves to you and that we do everything we can to not disgrace you, to not bring dishonor to you, to help people in this church, Christians, realize that their actions are seen and they're heard by other non-Christians and that that affects the life of that person that could possibly be looking for something. If we aren't leading by example, if we aren't showing your love, your light, your grace in our life at all times, Lord, we can hurt somebody else. We can keep somebody from coming to their true salvation, and we don't want that, Lord. Be with us. Help us to be strong. Help us to overcome our sin. Help us forgive our sins. We thank you so much for that, for your willingness to do that, and that you are there for us. and help us to understand that you are our only restoration for our sins, that we need you in order to get past these sins. For what your son did for us so many years ago, taking those sins with him, we just need to accept Jesus, acknowledge him in our lives, get him as our Lord and Savior, and help us to fight through these sins that we all do every day. Lord, we are blessed. We love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.